Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 384. This is Kevin DeFrango. On one end of my Skype call is one Jeremy Mays. How are you doing, good sir?
I was doing pretty good until about 15 minutes ago, but we can get into that in a second.
And on the other end is Chris Calamita. Sir, how are things up north there?
Pretty good until about 10 to 15 minutes ago, I'd say.
Well, this seems to be a familiar time frame here for all of us to have not really enjoyed. I will admit that I did not expect Luke Harper to win this match, so I was not terribly surprised that he did take the did get eliminated.
I wasn't expecting Luke Harper to win, so I shouldn't be, like, I'm not, like, super annoyed, just kind of annoyed. One, as a huge Luke Harper fan, so there's the fan in me that's going to be totally biased in this, because we've already seen Ambrose and AJ Styles, I don't know how many times, enough times, that's pretty much what it is. Dolph Ziggler, that's all you need to say. I mean, as soon as Luke Harper lost, I texted Shahid. I said, fuck this. The only reason is, and it's partly John Cena's fault, it's partly The Undertaker's fault, and Randy Orton's fault as well. There's nobody for AJ Styles to go after on SmackDown that has any legitimacy. Which I guess is kind of the beauty of SmackDown, I guess. I don't know. That was Shahid. But... I just...
Well, I mean, if he's ready, he can call in, too.
He's watching 205, so... But no, it doesn't make any sense. And I know Luke Harper is a heel, right? Because when he got pinned, the crowd booed. So he must be a heel, just like Wyatt and Orton are heels that get cheered, too. But anyways, it would have been something different. And even if it was, isn't this the time of year for the Royal Rumble feud anyways? Before we get into the, well, I guess with the Alamo Dome, it's going to be different this year, I suppose. But isn't this the time of year where things are different because the Royal Rumble carries the show? They could have something different, which I know they said it was December 27th, but just fuck Ziggler. God, sorry to steal your thunder, Chris, but
Dolph Ziggler. Fuck SmackDown right now. I mean, I haven't seen a show drop a quality this fast in season 2 of Heroes, for fuck's sake. I mean, oh, the last two
weeks. That's not it. It's not that bad. Heroes season 2. Wow. That is a great reference, because that was abysmal television. Even when they tried to blame it on a writer's strike. Yeah. That's it. Anyways.
Oh, man, no. I just haven't been enjoying Smash the last couple of weeks. And, you know, when you put an upcoming Dolph Ziggler title shot on top of an upcoming Mojo Rawley title shot, you're not going to leave me in a good mood at all.
All right, guys, not to go, but did you guys notice how badly Zack Ryder was hurting?
Did not.
No, I kind of checked out of that match.
I just wanted to match that.
Well, we'll go back to better than bitching about the car. But anyways, when he goes over the top rope, he comes down tailbone first right on the outside of the ring apron.
Oh.
And he never let go of that rope the whole time. They announced who he was, and he was like, yeah, like that. And then Spazzo runs down.
You.
As he goes to get on him, sees Ryder say, don't touch me or don't jump on me. And as soon as Mojo gets on and starts doing that, he stops. It's like, oh crap. They cut away. They go back to the replay where we can see him smack down. Sorry. Where he smacks onto the apron and he goes, oh my God. Because he's, I mean, it was all momentum, and then they go back to live, and Raleigh's standing around like, what am I supposed to do? And then they just cut away. And Zack Ryder never let go of that rope, keeping all of his weight on the ropes. It could just be a bruise, but he was hurting pretty good.
I did feel like the celebration was a little bit weird, but I guess I didn't notice Ryder holding on to the rope the whole time, and I already erased SmackDown, so I'm definitely not going back to watch that.
Yeah, my DVR.
No, it right. did not look that either, but yeah, that sounds bad.
I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It don't feel good. So, because he had nothing to break his fall. He was holding up, he was trying to, you know, obviously fall to the floor. But going back to the main event, I'll disagree with that. I don't think SmackDown's been terrible quality, but it seems to be in like kind of a weird pattern, but just almost like some out of the blue growing pain. And I think that's why it would have just been. How weird would it have been to have Luke Harper in the main event of a match, even if it's on, you know, regular TV, where Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton are the tag team champions? It's like, wait, what? Two guys who probably should be in the main event are the tag team champs, and the sidekick guy who lost to Kane 2 weeks in a row is in the main event?
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, from that kind of perspective, Luke Harper makes as much sense as Dolph Ziggler if you're just going by like a strictly win-loss kind of situation here recently, because Dolph Ziggler has not really done himself a whole lot of favors in the winning department recently either. So it was kind of tantalizing that they put Luke Harper in the match. And I mean, I felt like even the week before they had kind of made more of a mention of him being a singles wrestler because, what else does he have to do?
They have made the free bird / demolition / New Day rule official for them.
Oh, okay.
In a WWE.com article, of course. That still hasn't been referenced on television.
Well, they haven't had to defend the titles yet, though.
Yeah, no, they defended them last week.
That's true. I forgot about that.
But then the article on WWE.com came after that, so that little thing is kind of weird.
It sounds like it's a good setup for WrestleMania to go against New Day, but I don't know how they're going to do that. But anyways, I when you bring up win losses with Dolph Ziggler, I mean. What was the line that cracked me? Oh, when he got in the ring today, he usually does this yelling thing. And he goes, I know who I paid to see. I'm not going to say there's no one in that building that paid to see you, but I'm going to feel very comfortable in saying you could probably count it on both hands. The way he's been booked, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
He wins a title from The Miz. He's on cloud nine, whatever. And then they take it away from him, and... Oh, here comes Dolph Ziggler. It's like, okay. Cool, yeah. The guy that doesn't win.
Yeah. They had one last chance with Dolph Ziggler, and they took it away from him, and now he's dead. There's, outside of maybe a well orchestrated heel turn, there's nothing left for Dolph Ziggler.
That seems to be the only thing that he should do, but they can't turn him heel because there's literally nobody for AJ Styles to face right now.
I know. There really isn't. I know we're in this, we're just trying to fill TV time in a long stretch to the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble is until the 29th of January. So, to have a title match on the last episode of SmackDown of the year. Fine, I guess, but no one believes in Dolph Ziggler anymore. They've went to that well once too many times. It's done and over with.
Well, especially when doesn't it seem ripe for James Ellsworth to interfere and cost Dolph Ziggler the match?
Yeah, this point.
So they can if you want to go with like they got to protect this guy, why the hell would you protect Dolph Ziggler? I mean,
right.
It makes sense for James Ellsworth to interfere. Because isn't, all right, they said something at the end that Dolph Ziggler is now the number one contender. Well, what about James Ellsworth?
He was sick tonight.
Well, I don't think he was ever number one contender. I just think that he was granted a match with AJ Styles for the championship.
He's granted a championship opportunity.
It's a guarantee. He has to get that match.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that a guarantee is different than being the number one contender, I guess.
Right.
I guess.
Like the Money in the Bank, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, what right, Ellsworth has right, is yeah. kind of like Money
now,
in the Bank.
The question is, when does James Ellsworth get this title shot? Now, I imagine maybe tonight, AJ Styles did nothing physical. He's still on, you know, no physicality from his from his ankle injury from TLC. Do they do it next week? As I suggested the last time we were all together, do they do AJ Styles versus James Ellsworth at the Royal Rumble?
You said it before. I thought, you know what, they could get away with that, but having it in the Alamo Dome, I don't think they can. They've got to have a solid card.
I imagine it'll either end up being AJ Styles versus John Cena or AJ Styles versus The Undertaker. But I guess if you want to build the Royal Rumble up, the match itself up to be, you know, the be-all, end-all, you put everyone in there and then just do, you know, whatever for title matches. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously, Ellsworth has to have this match between now and then.
Oh. Well, yeah, I don't think...
I'm trying to think of a time where he can.
Well, it's one of those ones where that can happen, honestly, any week. I don't think that needs to be some specific, set time.
You know, they could go, with the Royal Rumble idea, they could go James Ellsworth versus AJ Styles. And Styles just, of course, run through him in 30 seconds. You know, do the fantasy book, have him brag about blah, 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 and all of a sudden John Cena's music, or, you know, Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan, whatever, comes out and says, all right, we knew this was going to happen. And since this is a Royal Rumble, you're facing a real opponent. And then Luke Harper comes out. See? Thought I was going John Cena. But John Cena comes out, or Taker, whatever, and, you know, you can have your match that.
At that point.
Especially if you advertise that John Cena or Taker.
Well, you might as well advertise the real match, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. I think we got a little bit of Skippy Chris on that one.
You guys are getting a little Skippy too.
Yeah. Mmm.
Well. All of the noise on my noise bar moves when I talk and when Jeremy talks, so...
Uh-oh. I'm going to have to...
We are okay if Chris is okay, so...
I'm great.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's not what you were saying before the show.
I'm getting better. I made that hero's crack, and I'm better now.
I don't know why, and like all honesty, I was hoping Luke Harper would win, one, because being a big super fan, and then two, just for something different. And again, it's still Royal Rumble time, so it's like you can have, especially I didn't realize it wasn't until the 29th. You've got what, 6 weeks still? 7?
Yeah.
We got one Raw event. There's nothing for SmackDown, right?
Yeah, no, nothing.
All right. Nothing. So it seemed to be okay. I mean, even build it up, which it would be built up. It's 2 weeks ago. I mean, there would have been plenty of intrigue. The crowd, I don't know who they'd actually would be behind. Because AJ's still not getting booed that much. And... people were pretty excited when Luke Harper all of a sudden showed up. And then subsequently booed, you know, to keep bringing this up. The crowd booed when he got pinned and had to leave the match. And I guess it didn't help that I had like a mini heart attack when Miz got pinned, because I thought they were saying this was a fatal four-way.
No, Daniel Bryan said elimination.
All right.
At the top of the show.
Okay. Because I forgot that. So when Miz got pinned, I was like, Ambrose won already? Like, are you out of your mind? And I don't even hate Dean Ambrose.
Well,
I kind of like the character, the way his character's gone. Like, when he came in, just DDT'd Ellsworth and left, that was great. And then today he comes in, wants to pick a fight. I mean, yeah, good. But...
You know, that was one with, it was kind of intriguing at the top of the show when, The Miz challenged AJ Styles. Like, I was like, I can see this working. Like, that was one of those ones where I'm like, I'm okay with this.
Yeah,
like, again, it's that weird period where they don't ever do anything too serious. I don't think The Miz is gonna win, and they'll definitely find ways to... you know, keep that matchup non-physical in nature,
yeah,
just because all the talking the Miz does anyway.
Right. They absolutely could have gone with Miz and AJ Styles. I would have had no problem with that.
You know how weird that sounds to hear someone say this? I'm not disagreeing with you.
Right.
But I mean, the Miz? Like, yeah, I'd watch that. Like, wait a minute. When did this happen? I understand exactly when, but when did this happen?
The Miz is the only guy who went into that doorway with a winning record recently.
This is true.
And is Miz the only guy? Yeah, I'm both brands, if you want it. That there's no way he's ever going to turn face. Like, the crowd doesn't like him.
Even
his hot-ass wife isn't helping.
They tried him as a face years ago. It sucked. It sucked pretty bad. So I hope they learn their lesson.
No, but what I'm getting at is, like, eventually a crowd comes around on a person. But that has never happened for The Miz. Like, every heel has been a face at some point because the crowd, you know, got into him.
Yeah,
and WWE finally relented. The Miz, though, I can't think of another heel that the crowd genuinely dislikes.
Yeah, I mean, it's that he is kind of hated in some parts for, well, I mean, he still isn't all that great of a wrestler. Like, he has definitely improved from the beginning of his reign, but, and I think I've mentioned this before, like, he is just not nearly as athletic as, well, pretty much 90% of the roster at this juncture. And he doesn't quite have, like, and I think Chris and I talked about this last week, Randy Orton still kind of has that whole, the guy just kind of knows how to work a match really well, even if you're bored to death with his chin lock, although that hasn't been nearly as prominent recently. You know, he just has a better way of working a match than The Miz does, I guess, in general. Like, I can't think of any Miz matches that were, like, the dirt worst, but I'd really be hard-pressed to remember a match that I'm like, oh, yeah, that could maybe be top 10 match of the year. I can't even kid myself into saying that was one of the best matches of the year, because I don't even think The Miz has had one match in his career that it's kind of gotten to that level.
The match at No Mercy with Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah, I was going to say, that. Remember the career match? That was pretty damn good. And that's with dead-ass Dolph Ziggler.
Well, that was pre-officially dead Dolph Ziggler.
For one run. And I killed it.
Yeah, I mean, that match was where they at least said that there was going to be some payoff, and then they just took the belt away from him afterwards, so...
Okay. Out of the blue. And I understand that, I guess they wanted to have a heel versus Sami Zayn for Survivor Series, but why? Why not have two face wrestlers just go at it? I mean, see what happens.
Unless it was part of this, which is still a little weird to me, this larger plan for just because right. You brought up Sami Zayn. Like, were they already at that point laying groundwork for Sami Zayn having problems with the GM? So that, like, Ziggler got pushed out because of the Sami Zayn storyline? Like, I mean, it's a plausible case. I'm not sure that it is the case. I mean, and I'm not sure we'll ever get the answer. But weirder things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, there's never been an answer for why he lost to begin with, or like a real answer, or why he just didn't win it back. Momentum was finally with Dolph Ziggler, and Miz winning out of the blue.
Yeah, well, and I guess you're right. There's normally that, oh, Dolph Ziggler opened his big fat mouth again. Story, and there doesn't seem to be a story that says that Dolph Ziggler opened his big fat mouth again.
I mean, they had a chance, but you know what? Judging their 2016s, I mean, can you really fault WWE for going with, for choosing The Miz over Dolph Ziggler? I guess in the end I don't.
No, I was like, Kev, you brought up, like, his, like, Miz not being that great of a wrestler, but his character.
Oh.
I mean, that can't be denied, and I think, I know, I'm going to go, I agree with you, Chris.
But
straight character.
I mean.
I guess that's why I was basing it on, like, the hate for The Miz is kind of different than, like, for some of the heels, they're just trying to heal it up, like. I think that people have a reason why they don't like him, despite some evidence to the contrary. Kind of like John Cena can't wrestle stuff.
Yeah.
But there's more of an anger towards The Miz than there is towards Cena. Like, it's almost like people would rather make fun of Cena. Like,
The Miz is the one guy who can get away with not being tough, not being that good of a wrestler, and it all fits his character. It's kind of brilliant, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, I hadn't thought of it that way.
That is true. I mean, that persona does help his character enhancement.
The part I genuinely enjoy about his character is how he says he's a Hollywood A-lister, which the curse, that's just whatever. But just knowing, like, even the other wrestlers, and this is always a weird thing, too. The wrestlers come in and go, what, you're going to start on the Marine 6? And it's like, wait, your company, that's their film division. You're ripping on the product they put out inside of enduring a product they put out. So, wait, huh? It's like this infinite loop of, wait, what? It'd be like, I don't know, just somebody, I mean, I guess some sports guys do, just start ripping on your own team and your own company and in your own league, and they go, well, yeah, but come on out and buy tickets to watch us, or, you know, buy my jersey, something like that. It's like, well, wait a minute, you just said everything sucked. Why would I bother going to, you know, be a part of any of this? But I don't know. On SmackDown, another strange thing, not strange, but one thing I think correlated to Luke Harper was, during that Battle Royal, Connor looked strong as hell. That was surprising. Because they haven't done anything with the Ascension. And all of a sudden, here he is, one of the final, what, four?
Three.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And then he had even thrown guys out before that. And I was thinking, wow, the Ascension and I almost said New Day, vastly different teams. In the Wyatts, be kind of strange, but okay.
I mean, maybe Connor's got potential, but Victor's bad. I mean, that's the knock on the team. Unfortunately, I think that one is definitely better than the other if you really watch them closely. And I just don't see anything with the Ascension as a team. They've been too, if anything, split them up and give Connor something else.
Well, and I think that's why it was a little surprising to me that they had gotten that far, just because the previous week they got a little inset promo, and they talked about how they kind of had fealty towards the Wyatt family. So it's just like, oh, why is this team kind of getting to look strong? Like, they didn't even really want to go against the Wyatts, so I don't know. But it was kind of interesting. I obviously noticed that because, like you said, he tossed people too, which is, you don't usually see one of the bad teams being the tossers.
Yeah.
That sounded kind of bad.
Yeah. at least you didn't say it was one of the fluffers. So. But, although, in gay porn, are they called tossers? No, I guess they'd be fluffers, same thing. It's same act, so I don't know why they have a different name. But anyways, you guys take over. I'm going to look that up now.
I thought that the whole Battle Royal was structured very weird. That they didn't even let one team stay in together towards the end to establish some kind of dominance. Each team, half the feet the team went out pretty quick. I mean, poor Chad Gable just got launched out, didn't really get the chance to show anything. They gave Jordan a little bit, but he was cut off pretty quickly. I mean, I get that their American Alpha is going to be more of a long term project, but you can't let them get cooled off too much. Actually, that might be something I say about someone else later. We get to talk about Raw, but.
Yeah, the Gable thing was strange. I don't know. I guess maybe they just have it for Jason Jordan and maybe not for Chad Gable for whatever reason. Unless they're just delaying American Alpha until WrestleMania. Did they address why the Usos were not part of this?
Oh, I don't think so.
No. They're on Talking Smack.
I guess that means that they'll be angry about that. Not being in there, but I think there's an injury situation with one of them, and then
wow.
It's not cleared in time. But they'll go on Smack, them talking Smack, and complain about not being put in the match, I'm sure.
In case you guys were wondering, they are called fluffers on both sides.
Okay.
And apparently, they haven't been a normal part of porn since 1998, with the increase of Viagra. Oh, well, all right. So apparently there's some contention with this because fluffers are also now almost exclusively used for gangbang or bukkake, not for regular porn movies. So,
excellent.
Kids can go and look up what bukkake is. So, but anyways.
Oh,
no. I figured with all that stuff you wouldn't really need him anymore, but
oh man,
I'll cut some overhead down. It's not even on purpose. It's just not. So, but yeah, but SmackDown, whatever. It's
and I'm trying to think, whatever. Like I know that Mojo bothers Chris, but I think that they're kind of they're a good tag team in a lot of ways to go against the Wyatts just because, A, it's going to be an easy win, and B, they're two kind of bigger... Well, they're two bigger guys. They at least match up physically with the Wyatts. Some of the other teams on SmackDown are a little bit smaller than the Wyatts, so whatever.
It's so funny calling them the Wyatts when it's Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I know, I know Luke Harper's in there too, but it's like, wait a minute, how the hell is Randy Orton part of a group again? Like, good for him working tag matches, save some wear and tear, but damn, you're Randy Orton, man. I mean.
Well, like you said, he is kind of fucking up the title picture. AJ Styles could easily move on to a Randy Orton feud if they so pleased.
Yeah, but they've decided to go all the way with this detour in the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt story. So, you know, Randy Orton is still a heel for now. So, nope, not getting that Randy Orton AJ Styles match anytime soon.
Well, as if the crowd didn't cheer the Wyatts anyways, now they put Randy Orton in there, virtually guaranteeing no one's going to boo. I mean, I'm not against it, and apparently Randy Orton's not against it either, by reading the interviews, whether that's just lip service or not. But, we could be having AJ and Randy Orton right now instead of AJ and Dolph, and it breaking my heart with Luke Harper losing again. All this could have been avoided. Stupid Eric Rowan wouldn't have gotten hurt. You know what? No one mentions that. If Eric Rowan's still around, Randy Orton's probably not part of the Wyatt family.
And Luke Harper might be on Raw.
Yeah. I don't know if that's better, actually. Right. But, yeah. Because my man Braun Strowman's killing it on Raw. That's not an exaggeration. That guy's awesome.
I love Braun Strowman. Fuck anyone who hates fuck any nerd who hates Braun Strowman.
No reason that guy shouldn't be a big star in 2 years. Of course, I've been saying that about Luke Harper since he got in WWE. But, so.
Well, I think, although he isn't that much younger, honestly, Strowman. I do think he's younger than Harper. But he's bigger, too. Harper is a pretty huge dude, but... Strowman is even bigger than that, which is quite impressive to say the least.
Strowman's 6'8".
Oh, well, then Harper might be the same height.
No, I think Harper's more 6'5", 6'6".
6'5", yeah.
6'5", oh, okay.
He projects bigger.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman does not project bigger. He just is. I was on the opposite side of the ring, and you could see that man just towering over, like, the crowd when he walked in. That was impressive as hell. So, anyways.
Yeah, so I think that Strowman has a couple extra things going for him there. Where the fuck were... Why are we back on Luke Harper again?
Because I derailed everything like I usually do. No, we were talking about Randy Orton, and I just started blaming for being hurt. Why Randy Orton is part of the Wyatts now? So,
yeah, but I mean,
wait, you remember though? Randy Orton hated. Randy Orton hated every second of the actual with Bray Wyatt. You could see it on his face whenever they would win those spooky angles all October. You could tell Randy was miserable. So I think he does enjoy this part of it.
He gets to do something. From the interviews I've read, he gets to do something different. So that's making him, you know, a little re-energized, which I thought was a weird thing to say when he was gone for almost a year. Like, shouldn't he be energized anyways? But maybe he wants to be around the big dogs. You know, which I don't know who those big dogs would be for him anymore. Which has been a sly thing WWE's done. Look at all the stars if you want. Cena, he's off making movies. Undertaker's just doing whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, Taker still has a pretty limited shelf life, even compared to, you know, Cena.
Yeah.
You know what? At this point, it almost wouldn't surprise me if John Cena has his last match before Undertaker has his last match.
Well, With all the movie roles he's getting and how much time it takes up, and the one thing that I think, you know, barring injury, John Cena was always around. Even when he was doing projects or movies or whatever, remember, he would fly in and then fly back out that same day to go do it. That's, I mean, besides the physical toll this all takes, the mental toll of constantly being on the go, that's got to wear you down sooner or later. So he's got to be enjoying just being on a movie set, or I'm sure he'll say he enjoyed Saturday Night Live, but anybody who watched that did not enjoy Saturday Night Live.
I thought it was fine. It wasn't.
Oh my God, are you insane?
I have not watched it yet, so no explicit spoilers. Or I should just mute you guys for a moment, which is going to be a bit of a problem considering that I'm the one recording it.
I thought Cena himself did fine with the material he was given. Saturday Night Live is certainly not anywhere near a creative boom period.
Can you repeat what you just said about the John Cena part?
He did fine with the writing he was handed.
Okay, so when my dad doesn't like a movie, he makes up bullshit like that and goes, well, the special effects were good. Yeah, it sucked. It wasn't John Cena's fault. You're exactly right. That show blows. Holy crap.
That's kind of weird. And maybe it's just because I watched the episode recently with Chappelle on it, but maybe it's just because Chappelle was there. Because I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. Like, I enjoyed that show immensely.
I liked the Chappelle one. I think she and I talked about this. I liked the part where he was Negan. Because that was all his comedy. And then I enjoyed the opening thing with him and Chris Rock. And then I think I shut it off after that. I tried getting through the press conference sketch, where they brought up that really topical and timely, we're talking about practice jokes, and just went, are we seriously doing this? Are we going to pull out the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky jokes too? That'd be awesome right now. But the problem, and I'm trying to dance around it. It's just not funny. It's like, Kevin, you and I have pretty much the same sense of humor. Kind of subversive. A little bit. My humor is more mean-spirited. But this stuff wasn't. And yeah. It's like, all right, did you see the season finale of South Park?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. You know when the guy that sent the first email out?
Yeah.
So what'd your email say? Oh, I sent him a picture of my dick and called him a faggot.
That was hilarious.
So on Saturday Night Live, that would never happen. And that's the difference. South Park does something that's funny. Yes, if you want to say it's obscene, whatever, that's fine. That's funny. Not John Cena playing a guy that doesn't know that an orange isn't a banana. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, so, wow. Okay, yeah, that's not a good start.
No.
Not a good start at all.
But I'm sorry, Chris. I will back up. That Karate Kid sketch I thought was pretty funny. I just thought it was, I thought it was cool. But again, it wasn't one of the live ones. It was the digital short. So, yeah.
Well, I look forward to that hour and a half that is still sitting on my DVR and will be sitting there for an even longer time period.
I laugh at dumb stuff, too. So, have you guys heard of Dogbird?
Dogbird?
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of it.
Okay. It's a Reddit forum. And basically, they've nicknamed dogs tackling either people or dogs dog burging. So basically, it's a dog spearing stuff. And I was in tears watching these things. I didn't laugh at Saturday Night Live. There you go. So, how was Raw this week, guys? You know, after SmackDown, I actually kind of forgot about Raw.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but...
I mean, I like the whole, you know, show-long story, interweaving the main event storyline with the New Day's quest for the record. I liked all that a lot. I actually also liked Charlotte and Sasha Banks not being on the show, just running a video. At this point, there's nothing more to say. There's nothing more to do. Let's have the final match.
Yep. And they did make it official. It is the final match.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Good idea, too.
It was fun that New Day got to had to work a little bit. It always drives me bananas when they have a certain timeline. They're like, "Oh, this doesn't fit our Raw taping schedule. We're gonna bump everything up." Like, because originally New Day's reign was gonna be like the middle of the week when they beat Demolition, and then of course all of a sudden it's midnight after Raw.
Yeah, I noticed there was a bit of a change there, but I guess, you know, New Day's not going to have a match between Monday and Sunday. I guess it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, unless they have a house show match, damn it.
I thought of that, too, but...
But they still wouldn't have a house show before Thursday.
This is also true.
And they also don't advertise house shows, so... Why would they even acknowledge they exist? I mean, they do advertise house shows, but just not on their own programming. Because why would you? Why would you want other people to come see you? But yeah, Raw. I don't know. The Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens stuff was nice. I don't know. Those two guys have something. So it's gonna be real fun when Kevin Owens finally gets put on the list, if he ever does.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, they're still trying to keep Jericho heel. You know, him teasing the list and then taking it away. You know, that's definitely a, you know, heel, you know, 1-on-1 type stuff. So I wonder if, you know, when they get around to, say it's at the Royal Rumble, it's, you know, Owens and Jericho 1-on-1. Who they're going to be both heels. One's going to go face. They're going to be in between, still questions there as far as, you know, it just seems that Owens is the more unlikable. People really, really want to cheer Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Well, he's got the funner gimmicks going.
Right. It's, you know, I don't think it's time for a Kevin Owens face turn yet.
Well, he still gets cheered when he comes out.
And then they slowly
turn on during matches.
Yeah, I was going to say, he doesn't, because there's still the people that really like his, to go back to work rate talk here, there's certainly the people that appreciate where Kevin Owens has come from. And, you know, I think they always cheer him, but the boos do largely control that. I don't feel like that's even close to a John Cena 50-50 crowd moment ever.
Oh no, I mean, Kevin Owens works to be booed against you know, the grain, especially, you know, on TV and pay-per-view nights. I mean, he really works to be a heel, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Jericho, I don't know, Jericho kind of works at it now. Like, not doing the list, getting rid of it. I still wish that came back. I wonder if that will come back, but I don't know.
Much stuff was hitting for him, and I mean, he has, Jericho's mentioned just in the past that he kind of knows when to cut things off so as not to get too popular. And I mean, I think that both of those things recently, you know, you saw him kind of cutting them out at various other times, and now he's kind of cut all of them out. And is just carrying the list around, which, you know, again, that's exactly what he should be doing. He shouldn't be giving the fans what they want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's working because people do not like when the list, when he does not put someone on the list. But I forgot about this. I know this was supposed to be like a heel moment, and they try pretty tough to be heels. But that stuff with Rusev and Lana was cracking me up.
Oh, Rusev's hilarious.
I don't get how the crowd hasn't totally turned on him. Like, actually just turned on his side. I mean, just saying that G stands for straight garbage. It just repeated it over and over. And then she spells out crushed, which was kind of adorable. I mean...
Yeah. I'll let you guys enjoy that one because I was ready for that fucking segment to end.
I mean,
holy shit. I like Rusev, and I've generally liked his run, but that one in particular, I just was not a fan of.
I mean, I love Rusev. He's already advertised that.
Go ahead, man.
He's already advertised that tomorrow night he will be live tweeting Total Divas, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, and I even was laughing this morning at his Twitter account because he put, it's like squat day and this is my music, and he had the Rocky album up.
Yep.
Just like, oh my god. So, yeah, like I said, I just thought the Raw promo was pretty atrocious, but that guy's work almost all the time is hilarious. Because, you know, just kind of continuing the whole American theme thing is pretty goddamn hilarious on Twitter.
It goes, I don't know. He's just different, but he's got, like, a coolness to him. It's, like, even the stuff that he does on Twitter, whatever, you know, these guys don't act like their characters outside of Kevin Owens. They don't act like their characters on Twitter. But, well, Luke Harper apparently tweets the exact same thing every day. What the hell was it?
Oh.
Yeah, it is the exact same thing every day. And it's only once. Which I'm wondering if it's like his way of getting around the social media policies. Yeah, okay. So all it says is whatever day it is, it says it's Tuesday. You know what that means.
Oh, so he just changes the name of the day and that's it.
Yep, that's it. I mean, it's Tuesday. It's Monday. It's Sunday. It's Saturday, which he actually spaced differently on accident. Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday. Yeah, I mean. How far back does this go? I'm just curious. Oh, wait a minute. It was in July.
Oh, my gosh.
Please keep my name out of your mouth, Mr. Woods. Okay. I don't know what that was, but...
It's actually kind of amazing that the only guy and the person on the entire roster who's allowed not to even have a Twitter at all, not even a fake, you know, WWE-owned one, like, even Brock Lesnar has a Twitter that's obviously, you know, some interns using, is Dean Ambrose.
He doesn't have one?
No.
Yeah, he has one.
He created one in 2012, tweeted once, and then never touched it again.
Yeah. I did notice that.
Oh, yeah. It even says they made me get a Twitter. Fine. Enjoy. And it's... Oh, he has three tweets. Okay.
Oh, three. Yeah, sorry.
Well, one was a retweet, though. And, well, actually, only one shows up, though. So, hey, good for him. I understand their obsession with social media. I don't understand that they don't get it, that it's going to do nothing but get somebody in trouble eventually. So, whatever. But,
well,
man, back to Rusev, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was getting a kick out of that. Yeah, I guess you can see how it could go kind of long, but I don't know. If him going long prevents us from having a Golden Truth match, I'm okay with that.
I didn't know that that was a part of the equation. That may have changed my opinion of this segment. If I had known that that goes long or a Golden Truth match was on the table, I definitely would have gone for that going long.
Yeah, but just imagine this is a good way to approach how some of this goes. If a segment goes bad and then you notice that somebody isn't on the show, I think that makes that segment a little better because Oh, by the way, does anyone know what happened to Nia Jax? Where is she?
It's a good question that does not have an answer. I don't know. I've seen zero news. I just see that she just is still much like, well, at least Bailey's getting TV time these days.
But this Alicia Fox stuff is not doing Bailey any favors at all. I mean, Bailey should not be in matches that are getting boring chance. That's the point I made earlier. I mean, you can't let. I mean, I know it's not her time yet, but you can't let acts like this get too cooled off. Because sometimes it gets harder to heat them up later.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, and I think we've talked about it a lot, is that the Raw Women's Division is Charlotte and Sasha Banks, and the appetite for writing for anybody else is just not there at all. Like, Raw, at least SmackDown has had two women's feuds going at all times. I don't know why that can't. I mean, I guess technically you can consider Alicia and Bailey a feud, but wow. I think you're really stretching the definition of feud if you use it for that.
Right.
Well, I mean, she did, you know, give Cedric a bear, so
yeah, and
there's been worse reasons for feuds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like sleeping with a dead corpse. That was definitely a worse reason.
Is that ever, like, I'm not goofing on you, is that ever not going to get brought up? Like, when was that? 14 years ago, maybe? The Katie Vick stuff?
It was probably a long time ago. I'd wager a guess that it was longer than that.
It was in the 2000s, right?
It was 2002. It was over 14 years ago now.
Is it October 7th, 2002? I'm gonna make sure.
October something.
Well,
actually, it was October 21st, 2002. Yep.
I know so many people who stopped watching wrestling after that. It's
so 14 years ago.
Huh. Yeah, that they probably should never live that one down.
And I'm not even sure completely why I referenced it. In that instance.
Yeah,
it was just the first thing that, like, because I was obviously never really offended by that. I thought it was funny and weird, creepy, but, you know, whatever. I didn't have any problems with it. But the people that stop watching because of it, that's a problem.
It was just bad. But no, I mean, I think that the comparisons you're more looking for are, you know, to the Bear are Edge and Booker T feuding over a Japanese shampoo commercial, and Kane and Chris Jericho feuding over Jericho spilling coffee on Kane. Stuff like that.
The Japanese hair commercial is still funny. I don't care. That was a funny reason. The feud. So
that's another WrestleMania match, too.
Yep. Don't care. Like I said, there have been worse reasons for feuds. And a teddy bear being given to a guy, not so bad. But again, where the hell is Nia Jax?
Right.
She was part of Survivor Series. And that's been it, right?
Yeah, she's right. Just like our boy Dolph Ziggler. She's the best part of Survivor Series, and then out the window.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess I haven't seen any stories, and to me, they're, again, like, Raw's inability to kind of, you could really keep a Bayley thing, and then have a Bayley week, then a Nia week, and kind of keep them alternating to keep them on TV, but Raw hasn't done that at all.
Going back to the whole Bear thing, you know, having Alicia Fox tear up a Bear in week 2 was just so stupid. Because one day, when you have Sasha Banks turn against Bayley, you have Sasha tear up the Bear. It just makes sense to me.
I'm going to put a little stock into that Bear.
Well, that's the thing. It's only week 2. Let's get through the holiday season and sell a bunch of them first before you start ripping them off.
Yeah, or maybe not teach the kids that are probably going to get some how to destroy the Bear. That'd be a good idea, too. Until after the holidays and the sales are over. You don't want to buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one 50% off, because these dumbass kids keep ripping shit up. Yeah.
I don't right, care so how many times.
The great history of Nia Jax continues then, so.
Yeah, I don't care that much.
Hey, there was an Apollo Crews sighting tonight, though.
Oh, that was kind of strange.
That was a weird segment that I just fast-forwarded to. So if you guys...
That would be kind of funny. I know that Mick Foley teased trading Sami Zayn for Eva Marie. But honestly, the Apollo Crews... Huh?
Raw would have gotten the better end of that deal.
Yeah, I was gonna say that Apollo Crews for Sami Zayn might be a better trade if you're talking about equals at this point.
Yeah, we talked about this, and I talked about this with Sheep. I don't care what happened with Apollo Crews, but it does no good to not have him on TV. Just ship his ass back to NXT. When Joe comes up, Cruz goes down, everyone's happy. I mean, makes sense to me, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If you don't have any faith in him to put him on TV now, either A, you think he needs development, which... And I know of... Well, they just need to send some people down there if they think they need it. But I don't know. Maybe they just don't think that they even have the room on the NXT roster to keep him around.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Because Joe's got to come up, right? He's lost. He lost. Spoiler: he lost the cage match to Shinsuke. So what's left? Unless it's saving it for the Rumble, which I'm okay with too, but
yeah,
I don't know.
The Rumble's a popular time to come up, whether for the just for the match itself or some other situation.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the Rumble match is the right thing for him, because there's going to be so many other, you know, big heavy hitters in that match that he could be overshadowed pretty easily. And thrown out pretty easily, for that matter.
Yes, but at the same time, with all the big names in, Joe comes in, and he legit, you know, takes over, tosses some big names out. The thought is you immediately establish him. That's not so bad either. Even if he ends up getting tossed or, you know, somehow, just like AJ Styles got tossed. And everyone, couldn't have been that mad about it.
Right now.
So.
The suggestion I like about Joe is, even though he's spent most of the time in NXT as a heel, if you have him be the guy Daniel Bryan brings in to just, maybe even like as a mystery opponent, to just kill The Miz in like a minute and take the Intercontinental title.
That'd be kind of funny, actually. Like a Taz sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
That works. But, I don't know. I don't know. How far are we, Kevin?
We can keep going if we want to, or we can cut it off.
All right, so total nonstop deletion. We're all on board, right? We're all watching it, right?
Oh, I can't wait.
When is that? Is that this week?
Yes, that's
this week. Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Okay, is this when King Maxwell is going to debut?
Thank you, Kevin.
Yes.
That's exactly where I was going with this. Yes. He makes his in-ring debut.
That kid, oh my god, last week. He's just looking around, just clapping with everyone else. I don't know if that kid's... I mean, I guess, you know, things that happen between the ages of 0 and 3 or 4 don't resonate with you at all as you get older. So I don't know if there's any lingering issues of his exposure to all the things he's seen, but man, that kid... That kid has a weird life.
Yeah, yes. But I remember I wasn't watching TNA at all. And Shahid kept telling me, he's like, Matt Hardy's in the ring. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, yeah, he's doing this thing. I was like, all right. And he goes, he's got a fucking baby in the ring. I was like, what? He's like, his wife is holding their real-ass baby in the ring. Like, oh my god. Like, all right, hang on. Turn it on, and I'm like, yep, sure enough, he does. And then I don't remember what happened, how he got to the broken part, because I wasn't watching it anymore. But then all of a sudden, he's always around. And like you said, last week, he's in the ring. And Matt said something. And I don't know if Rebby told him to react to it or what it was. But Maxwell reacted. And the crowd started cheering, like a legit legit cheer from that crowd. Like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I don't know. I'm just looking forward to this because they already filmed it, which I think is pretty crazy that no spoilers have gotten out yet. So.
No, well, it's a close set. There's... No one who's going to spoil anything other than, you know, they send out the preview copy to people in the business, or Jim Ross has seen it. I think Lance Storm has seen it. A few people associated with TNA have seen it.
But how has no spoilers gotten out?
Yes.
Not that I want to know. I actually want to go in fresh on this one.
Right.
So.
What? What? Who are you, and where did Jeremy go?
I try to avoid spoilers now. See, the problem is Thursday's a big day. That's the new Star Wars movie, so I'll be watching that, and then I got to get home. I actually took Friday off, so then I got to watch Total Nonstop Deletion, probably on Friday.
So you're not watching it live, okay?
No, unfortunately, I was gonna say we should set something up, and I was like, it's not gonna work out. So never mind.
I might do a review of it depending upon Ken Phillips' availability on Thursday, which has been questionable at best with the with the OPA hiatus. But I actually did just set it to tape right now, so I always end up forgetting to set it. Each week, because I am not going to watch that garbage week in and week out.
Oh, no. just fast forward to the Hardys parts. It's easy. Because, see, I didn't do that last week. What a disaster of a show.
Yeah, well, you guys keep on saying that, but then every time I watch this stupid thing, I don't fast forward, and I watch all the segments, and it's awful.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. How was that any different from anything we've said? What are you talking about?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, it's just a bad thing within me that makes me watch the whole damn thing.
Oh, no. I've gotten over that thing, too. If it's bad, you're gone. Well, except Saturday Night Live this week. See, brought it right back around. So,
well, I'm live threading it. I'm live tweeting it. So, Jeremy, you definitely want to avoid all of that if you want to be spoiler free.
Oh, yeah.
Back.
Yep. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to work in King Maxwell making his in-ring debut. Like, and here's, all right, here's a little something I just thought about. You know, Jeff Hardy's got two kids, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So
at least one, but pretty sure it's two.
Just saying. Could we see Jeff Hardy's obsolete children show up? Could you imagine?
We start getting a Children of the Corn situation.
Oh my god, that'd be so awesome. Yeah. Just little kids, they got those foggy contacts in like Jeff does, which I think would be child abuse, actually, so probably not, but...
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be good for them.
No. I don't know, man. These two goofy bastards have captured my imagination with this stuff, so... And, oh, did you ever listen to Matt Hardy on Jim Ross?
No, I still haven't downloaded Jim Ross.
No. I don't do Jim Ross anymore.
Oh, it... Jim Ross, it... I think there was a point where he finally realized Matt was not going to break character. So they went to a commercial for Sonic, whatever. And then when he came back, he had changed his attitude with it a little bit to where he was just blatantly trying to get Matt to change character. Realize it was never going to happen, and then actually start formulating questions so Matt could answer them in character. Like, oh my god, this is the weirdest thing ever. But Jim's such an old curmudgeon. Like,
oh god, it's the worst podcast ever.
It was your you had to.
Steve Austin's worst day with Ed Fowler. It's still, you know, it's still better than Jim Ross's most of Jim Ross's wrestling interview.
I don't bother with the Ted Fowler stuff.
Me neither, but still.
Yeah. I also don't. The reason I stopped listening to Jim Ross is everybody's on the phone. No one's ever in the studio. You know, like our stuff sounds better because it doesn't sound like we're talking on a cell phone, at least. You know, we have our technical issues here and there, but whatever. But I don't know.
Cool. Well, I think that's a good enough way to end.
Yep.
We got to end with the king, baby. So, yeah, I'll go with the... I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Granny Mays. The other man is at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. And somebody else can close out the show.
All right, well, I'll end my segment. You know what? Chris is awful at ending shows. So, Chris, you go first. I'm going to end the show for a change.
All right.
Watch this.
Good night, everybody.
See, that's not matter if I talked to him or not. So, anyways, guys, thanks for listening. What Kevin failed to mention was that you can subscribe to all of our podcasts just by finding Stunt Granny. It's pretty easy. You get this one and others like this. We watch stuff with Shahid and I. It's the entertainment, comics, and whatever we feel like talking about show. And then you got Kevin and Ken. Weird scientific stuff, and, well, yeah. I totally lost steam, that's why. So anyways, rest in peace, Alan Thicke. Kids, we're out of here. Listen to us next week.